The economy had a little more spunk than we thought.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. It's the Morning Open. Hello, I'm Steve Chiatakis. A panel tries to get to the bottom of the financial crisis. New technology could mean some big changes in the vaccine business. All that ahead. But first, where's Wall Street? Numbers are mixed right now. The S&P up just a tad, about 0.03%. The NASDAQ off less than 0.25% right now. The Dow completely flat at 10,320. European shares right now are higher by about 0.5% to 1%. And in Asia, Japan's industrial output was up again, and that sent shares higher there, about 0.5% to 0.5% for the Hang Seng. The Commerce Department says growth in the last quarter of 2009 was better than initially thought. The nation's fourth quarter gross domestic product was revised upward to 5.9%. That's the most robust economic growth in 6 years. But there are still worries on Wall Street about a double-dip recession, that the quarter we're in isn't going to turn out quite so rosy. Chris Lowe is chief economist at FTN Financial. He's with us live from a very snowy New York City this morning. Hi, Chris.
Good morning.
Let's sort of break this down for a second. We knew that the fourth quarter expanded, but now the government's saying by even more. Why this revision?
Well, what we're seeing is that business spending for equipment was better. Exports were up a little more than they thought. The biggest thing was that inventories, which fell less than they originally reported, and that's an indication of business confidence. And then you've also got a better mix of consumer spending growth. So it's a really good-looking revision. It's not just better numbers, but a better mix as well.
How come I'm not seeing a lot of green on the screen, though, that the Dow and the NASDAQ, nobody's really jumping at this?
Well, I think you pretty much nailed it. What's going on is that we have this very strong fourth quarter, but the data in January and February hasn't been quite as good. And just to give you a couple of recent examples, consumer confidence in February fell 10 points. We had a little more than 50,000 increase in filings for unemployment insurance in the last 2 weeks. People are getting nervous.
They're getting nervous about a double dip.
That's exactly right.
All right. Chris Lowe joining us from New York this morning. Stay dry and warm, Chris.
Thank you very much. Right. I will.
In Washington today, the Financial Crisis Inquiry Commission meets once again. This is the panel that was set up by Congress and the president to look into what led to the financial meltdown. Marketplace's Gregory Warner is with us live from WHYY, just down the road from New York in Philadelphia this morning. He's got the latest. Good morning, Gregory.
And it's snowing here, too.
Snowing
good
there. Morning, yeah, a lot of snow on the East Coast. All right, so Gregory, remind us again, what is this panel and what are they supposed to be doing? I mean, this was modeled after the 9/11 commission, right?
Right. And it was to figure out not just what led to the crisis on Wall Street, but why and who's accountable for all the risky instruments that took the market down. I spoke to James Angel from Georgetown University.
It's not just the complexity of the instruments. It was the complacency of everyone thinking that somebody else had figured out the risk was low.
And this is the challenge, he says, because everyone bears some of the blame. Mortgage lenders who made the fraudulent loans, the rating agencies who were stamping AAA on things that shouldn't have been, and the investment banks, of course, that packaged them.
Now, this is day two of the hearings. How are things going so far?
Well, today and tomorrow, it's the professor's turn. Some of the most respected economists will address the commission. Last month, it was the CEOs that came before the commission, some of the CEOs of some of the major banks and investment firms. And there was this interesting exchange from last month's hearings where commissioners asked the CEO of Goldman Sachs, Lloyd Blankfein, how he could have sold these bundles of troubled mortgages to investors while at the same time placing bets that they would fail. And Blankfein essentially answered, buyer beware.
Well, Marketplace's Gregory Warner in Philadelphia. Gregory, we do thank you.
My pleasure.
All right.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by MassMutual, a mutual life insurance company owned by its members and policyholders. Learn more at massmutual.com/mutuality. By Microsoft, offering cloud computing for businesses with solutions for managing the transition to the cloud while managing costs for customers at microsoft.com/cloud services. and by Vanguard, offering investments designed to help individuals, institutions, and advisors reach their long-term goals at Vanguard.com.
The shortage of swine flu vaccine caused quite a few problems last year, which helped spur the government to pump money into making sure there's no repeat performance of that. The global market for vaccines is expected to top $30 billion in a couple of years. And now a new technology could change the fast-growing market entirely. Marketplace's Stacey Vanek Smith has more.
Epidemics and the threat of bioterrorism have drug companies and governments pouring money into vaccine research. This week, the Department of Defense announced it's backing a plan to grow vaccines on a type of tobacco plant, not the kind you smoke. Brett Girouard is a doctor and vaccine expert at Texas A&M University.
Plants are very good at making a lot of vaccine very, very rapidly. Plants have the promise to cut months off the vaccine development timeline and also to be able to do it much more cost effectively.
Now, most vaccines are grown in chicken eggs, which takes a lot of time and costs a lot of money. Barry Holtz is the president of GCON, which developed a technique for growing vaccines on tobacco plants.
But what it's going to mean is that we're going to be able to respond much more quickly to pandemic or bioterrorism event or other things that would require a vaccine.
Holtz says they're moving fast, but the technology is at least a few years away from market. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
And finally, tonight, as people celebrate the weekend, they're going to be hitting the bars. Here's a reminder to those in New Orleans who include Club Republic in their plans. They have a dress code that's being implemented. It's easy to remember. It's like a children's rhyme. If it's on the Jersey Shore, it's not coming through the door. No Affliction, no Ed Hardy, no Christian Odege, no exceptions. I think they're looking at you, Snooki. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. Check us out online at our website, marketplace.org. Get the podcast there, the entire Marketplace Morning Report podcast, plus the news of the day, the business news, and you can share your thoughts, too, with us at marketplace.org. Have a great weekend. This is Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.